to be here in the house. So that everyone, you believe that? I'm just so honored to be here. Now, are we ready to hear from God? Now, I want to invite David and to come out here with his wife. They're going to be sharing with us. So just be ready to receive from the Lord. David, thank you.
David and his wife, Barbara. In Spanish, la palabra Bárbara.
Bárbara, yeah.
Tiene una esposa Bárbara.
You know what's funny? I actually forgot her name, and I was like, oh, I don't have anything with her name on it. Thank you, though.
That's okay. It's kind of fun, because I know there's at least one other Barbara in this church, and a lot of times there aren't any others, so we're both Bárbaras. We're so pleased to be here with you again. I was just talking to friends, and we were remembering we were probably here 4 years ago, or we were scheduled to be here, and then unfortunately, with the death of the pastor and so on, we weren't able to be with you physically, but in spirit. We've appreciated your support and your interest in prayer and in financial support through the many years. Today, we're blessed also to have with us one of our friends and colleagues who shared in Sunday school, and he is Victor Quispe. Victor, ¿se puede levantar un rato y saludar? Yeah. So, tomorrow, Dave, and I will be flying to Monterrey and then go on to Saltillo, Mexico, where we're going to have the Inter-American Conference, which will bring together people from 19 countries in Latin America of the Church of God. And Victor is actually the president of the Inter-American. So you can say you knew him before he was that famous. But, yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for having us, and we look forward to sharing a little bit about our ministry and how God is at work in Latin America.
Barbara and I serve as regional missionaries of the Church of God to Latin America. We are going to show a video in a moment that sort of describes what we do as missionaries. We've been at it for now 39
Before
years.
Before I was born.
Yeah. Well, we left the United States for Latin America 6 months after our wedding. And we've been there pretty much ever since, off and on. Next year will be 40 years since our commissioning as missionaries. And we figure 40, you know, that's a nice round biblical number. So we're waiting for what the Lord has for us after the 40-year mark. We know it's not going to be retirement, full retirement, and the rocking chair thing. We know God still has things for us. But we'd like to show you a video, about a 4.5-minute video. Then we're going to share with you some of our thoughts on finishing well. The theme of this video is to finish well. We're going to share some thoughts about that we've learned from other people. And then we'll have a time, if you have some things you want to say to us, this is going to be an interactive message. And so if you have questions for us, or there are things that, you know, I've always wanted to ask a missionary but never had a chance, oh, we'd like to hear from you. So we'll run the video now, and then we'll be back.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Those words of the Apostle Paul are a challenge to every follower of Jesus, a challenge to finish well. We find them especially challenging as we draw near to the 40-year mark in overseas ministry.
Hi, we're Dave and Barbara Miller, missionaries to Latin America. In 1980, we were appointed by the Missionary Board, today Global Strategy, to work in Bolivia, South America. This came 6 months after completing graduate studies at Asbury Theological Seminary, where we met and married.
Our work in Bolivia has primarily involved Bible teaching and itinerant evangelism among Andean Native Americans. The Bolivian church has flourished, today becoming the largest national movement of the Church of God in Latin America.
We raised our family in Bolivia. 3 of our 4 children were born in Cochabamba, the city that we've come to call home. Itinerant evangelism has not been our only missionary assignment. Dave served as editor of the Spanish language magazine La Trompeta. A master's degree in journalism opened the door to reporting news about persecuted Christians.
Meanwhile, Barbara employed her skill as a pastoral counselor, stepping in to help with marriages in crisis, Peace Corps volunteers in distress, and missionary families trying to adapt to new countries and cultures. In 2005, Church of God Global Missions appointed us regional coordinators for Latin America.
That appointment broadened the opportunities that we have to help raise up Bible-centered leaders who will plant healthy, multiplying churches. We should point out that two-thirds of Church of God missionaries around the world consider these two goals their highest priorities. Bolivia provided us with a real-life model of a healthy, multiplying church. It's the kind of church this man envisioned when in the 1880s he launched what would become the Church of God movement. In 2010, God gave us a vision called in Spanish, El Desafío 2020. It is a challenge to every believer to help plant two churches and help disciple 20 persons by the year 2020. It seems a modest challenge, but it has produced surprising fruit.
7 years later, Church of God believers in Latin America have planted more than 100 new churches, and weekly attendance has increased by 12,000 persons. God has granted us the privilege to witness the impact of the Apostolic Church in yet another way through the Luzon Movement, a global network of leaders from many different missions and church families. Luzon has one focus: to connect the worldwide body of Christ and mobilize every Christian to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus. 3 years ago, we were invited to coordinate the Luzon Church Planting Network in Latin America.
Since then, we have brought together nearly 700 church planters, pastors, university and seminary professors, and denominational leaders for consultations on church planting. These meetings, in turn, have spawned new strategies and cooperative efforts to plant disciple-making churches. More doors open for us to partner with Global Disciples and Big Life, missions dedicated to training disciple-makers and catalyzing church-planting movements from El Salvador to Brazil to Cuba and, of course, Bolivia.
It seems that the more opportunity we have to partner to do this, the more clearly the vision of the Church of God movement comes into focus. The vision to mobilize the whole church, every member of the body of Christ, to win lost people and build them into faithful followers of Jesus, teaching them to obey everything He commanded, to make disciples of all nations. That's what Dave and Barbara Miller are about. This is the race that is set before us. And God helping, we want to run well all the way to the finish.
To learn about finishing and finishing well. Recently, we came across some suggestions for people who want to finish well in a career or in a ministry or even in life. And we're just going to briefly share with you some of these tips because they've been a real help to us. And I see some finishers out there. So actually, I think this will apply to people of all stages in life. Basically, there's three things they say that you need to focus on if you want to finish well. The first one is to finish well, and that means to remain, keep yourself morally pure and spiritually strong. Of course, there's many scriptures that talk about that. I'd like to share with you 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27, which is one of my favorite pieces of advice from the Apostle Paul. He says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath." That was the trophy in that day and age. "But we receive an imperishable one." Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Can we talk a little bit about temptation? Well, you know, pastors and missionaries, we don't face temptation because of our super spiritual level. You don't believe me. Don't believe me. Because everybody faces temptation. Even Jesus faced temptation. And he was able to deal with temptation because he prepared. The first thing you do to face temptation is prepare. Now, the best way to prepare, obviously, is to fast for 40 days in the desert. Jesus did that, and he was able to overcome every temptation. I can't claim a perfect record in overcoming temptation, and I haven't really tried that, fasting in the desert. But I have found some things. The first, I call it my 3P strategy for dealing with temptation: to plan, to pray, and to ponder. So planning means that you're going to have to deal with temptation. You know that, so get ready for it. Recently, we lost one of the most effective evangelists of all time, Billy Graham. He died at the age of 99. And as I was reading some of the news releases about his death, I came across one thing that I thought was kind of interesting. Some newspaper said, unlike most religious leaders today, Billy Graham was never tainted by any sexual scandal. You know, we've gotten to the point where it's sort of expected for celebrities of all kinds to have moral failure. Billy Graham didn't. And I remember hearing him speak one time about how he prepared to face temptation. When he formed the evangelistic team with George Beverly Shea and Cliff Barrows back in the 1940s, they made a pact with one another. We're going to be traveling a lot, and we're going to be staying in hotel rooms. We will never be in a hotel room with a woman who's not our wife alone. And they made that their plan during their entire ministry. Cliff Barrows, I heard him speak one time, and he said, you know, when I go into a hotel room, I just take a towel out of the bathroom and I put it over the television set. And that just reminds me why I'm here. I'm here serving the Lord, and it's going to be a lot of spiritual warfare, and I just don't need that distraction. And so planning to face temptation is really a powerful tool. And in my generation, in my personal walk with Christ, I found that I really have to plan to guard myself against internet pornography. I know none of you out there have this problem, but it's so easy to get hooked on this particular temptation because you get pop-ups on your screen and, well, you know, I maybe ought to just click on that to see what's out there so I can guide other people away from that. Now, that's just how they hook you in. So Lord gave me a strategy. When I buy a new computer or a new cell phone or a new tablet, and I don't do it very often, but when I do, I actually lay hands on that device and I dedicate it to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is not my computer now. This is yours. This is your cell phone. And when those temptations pop up and I'm tempted to follow them there, the Lord speaks to me. Wait, Dave, this is my computer. What are you going to be doing with my computer? And that really helps me avoid that particular temptation. Plan. And then pray when temptation comes around. And I learned this in a Bible study group in California when I was a young man. A brother said, you know, if you're praying for a woman, a good-looking woman, it's pretty hard to lust at the same time. And so the strategy is to pray when you're tempted. Whatever you're tempted to do, begin to pray and say, Lord, thank you for that person. Thank you for making them such a beautiful person. I know you love them. And just, you know, give them the best and reveal yourself to them. And when you start to pray, the devil flees. Isn't that what the Bible says? So plan, pray, and then ponder. As a journalist, and I have kind of an avocation as a news reporter on the persecuted church, I found myself traveling quite a bit and being in situations where sometimes I would meet a woman who I was attracted to. And rare occasions, I would meet a woman who was attracted to me. It doesn't happen that much anymore, you know? But in those situations, I learned to think twice, to think it through. Okay, now, if I do something improper, am I going to be able to tell my grandkids about this someday? Or am I going to be able to tell Barbara about this someday? And as I think about it, you know, I don't care how beautiful she is. She's not as beautiful as Barbara. She's not as interesting and attractive to me as Barbara is. And I know she wouldn't love me as much as Barbara does and put up with all my bad habits and stupidity. And when I begin to ponder, you know, you think it through. The Bible talks about the fool who is like an ox led to slaughter because he's not thinking. He's just following his glands. And so ponder, think through it. Is this going to be a wise decision? And God will reveal to you the best way to avoid that temptation. So plan, pray, and ponder to avoid temptation, to finish strong, to finish pure. Okay? Now, Barbara's got another piece of advice she's going to share with you.
So when you get to be our age, I'm 65 and Dave is 67, you begin to think about what impact your life has had. And how do we actually measure or gauge what impact our life has had? Our life in Christ. Have we in fact left a legacy in the lives of others? So today I want to challenge you to think about whatever age you are, as you're moving, you're keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We run the race keeping our eyes fixed on Him. But as we run, are we bringing people alongside us? And I think as we mature people, in not only chronologically, not only in years, but in faith, I challenge each person here, no matter where you are in your faith, to think about who are you bringing alongside? Are you passing on the baton of the good news of Jesus to your family, to your friends, to your classmates, to your colleagues at work? Are you praying for them? Are you sharing the gospel in your conversations? This is very convicting to me. As a missionary kid, I grew up in Zaire and Zimbabwe in Africa. And then as we have four adult missionary kids who've grown up in Latin America, and I'd like to be able to say before you now, each one of our adult children loves Jesus and is following Him. That isn't the case. I ask that you would pray for our adult children, Sarah, Ben, Molly, and Carmen. Two are following Christ and are obedient to His call in their lives. The other two, we just keep praying and loving. It's not a question of beating them over the head and saying, you know, come on, get with it. It's actually loving unconditionally and living a life, an example before them. We found, as we're in Latin America now, in these last years, no, I don't have one foot in the coffin yet, but thinking about finishing well, the impact that we can have is to pass it on to young people. And we've had great opportunities in recent years, particularly in the last 10 years, to work with a group called Global Disciples, who has leadership training courses that have leadership principles that you can put into practice that come from the Bible. These courses we have twice a year. They're over a six-month period, one weekend every month. And it's interesting because not everyone is a believer who comes, but we've had people who have put their trust and faith in Jesus through the course. Then we've followed up with small groups, and I think in this church you have small groups, right? That's a pretty common thing in the churches now. But in those small groups, and that phrase that I keep hearing, we do life together. Dave and I have done life together for about 39 years, but he still doesn't get everything I tell him to do. You know what I mean? So as we do life together in our family groups, in our small groups from church, in our groups of, if you're in school, if you're in high school or college, just think about sharing the gospel in very real ways by the way you live your life, not just the words you speak, but the opportunities that we have to pour into others. And they may be younger than we are in years. They may be younger than we are in faith. But it's just an awesome privilege and blessing to be able to share the love of God. And by sharing the love of God, they will know that we are your disciples because of the unity that we demonstrate. So please think about the legacy that you're leaving today. And who are the people that you are intentionally praying for and speaking the words of life to? Amen.
So stay connected to young people. And then the third point, okay, the first point is to finish well. Stay connected to younger people to leave a legacy. And then the third step to finishing well is to keep stretching, keep growing. We had the privilege of overnighting with Israel and Deborah in their home, and they have this lovely home they just finished refurbishing, and they fixed all this yummy food for us. I really recommend it. If you need to overnight someplace, go to Israel and Deborah's house. But I found out that Israel and I share a thing, that we both have back problems, and he has this cool machine up on his second floor. You lay on it, and you go back, and it stretches out your spinal column. Like Batman, and it really works. So stretching is good for your health, right? Well, when we're talking about stretching, we're talking about constantly stretching yourself to do new things, to learn new things, to grow, to try things that are risky and that will, you know, call on you to put everything you've got into it. There was a fella named Harlan Sanders. He had a chicken restaurant in Corbin, Kentucky. And at the age of 65, when he was ready to retire, he sold his restaurant. But he didn't feel like he was done with his career. And so he got his first Social Security check, $105, and he invested that in franchising his chicken. And he and his wife slept in their car because they would go around to different restaurants, and they would teach the staff how to cook their chicken. And they had this secret recipe that she would make up at home. And then if the restaurant was interested in serving his chicken, they would buy a franchise from him. And that's how Kentucky Fried Chicken got started. Colonel Sanders, his first Social Security check. Now it's the third, I found out, third largest restaurant franchise in the world after McDonald's and Subway. As Kentucky Fried Chicken. So he stretched himself. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out and start a restaurant when you retire. You understand? But that's an example of how rich a contribution people who are in their third age of life, that's what we call it down in Latin America, tercera edad. Well, you're no longer a kid. You're no longer, family age. You're now in the third age, but people that are finishing life still have a great deal to contribute. I don't think comfortable retirement is necessarily a goal for Christians. I think that we should continue to stretch, continue to grow, continue to try new things for the Lord. Barbara and I are looking at that ourselves. 1 year from now, we'll have completed 40 years, as we mentioned, as career missionaries with the Church of God. We're going to step away from that role, but we're not stepping away from cross-cultural ministry. We like what we do. The Lord is blessing, and we want to stay there as long as we can. We're going to have to find new ways to do it. We may have to accept part-time employment. Hope so. I want to stretch myself. We're looking for partners to help us with this. But we want to continue to go on and finish. Like Philippians, this is my life verse. When I became a Christian at age 16, God just hit me with this verse. And it's kind of been a theme for me since. Philippians 3:13-14, it says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Stretch yourself for the Lord, and you'll find amazing doors opening to you. So that's Dave and Barbara Miller, but I think on our clock we still have 7 minutes, don't we? Or 5 minutes? If you would like to hear something that you didn't hear and ask us questions, we're here for you. Otherwise, we'll all go to lunch.
Yep. No such thing as a free lunch. We learned that. Yes.
Okay, the question is, can you tell us something about Costa Rica? Because the brother is originally from Costa Rica. We were last in Costa Rica in November. And Costa Rica is a beautiful country in the middle of Central America. They call it the Switzerland of Latin America. It's a beautiful place. It's the most democratic government in Latin America. And one of the ecotourism destinations now. It's got lots of beaches. Yeah, it's got more beaches than Switzerland. And it's also got rainforests. But we were in Costa Rica at a forum for kingdom workers. We hold these every year, and Costa Rica was the host country. We had 104 leaders from Mexico and Central America came together in San Jose for 3 days of focusing on making disciples that make disciples. That's something you do here. We met your pastor, Tim Gould, and he shared with us the vision that he has for First Church of everybody becoming a faithful disciple of Jesus and making other faithful disciples of Jesus. That's what makes the world go round. That's what's going to fulfill the Great Commission. And so we're all about that in Latin America, and that's what the forum was about. Victor was there. He was one of the people that brought messages. But this is where we see God at work, challenging each one of us to help plant two churches, because making disciples leads to church planting. And you plant churches to make disciples. There's no other reason to plant a church except to make more disciples of Jesus. So we have this 220 challenge to plant. Everybody help plant two churches and help disciple 20 people. And so Costa Rica's right in there, part of that.
The question is, what made us realize that we wanted to be missionaries? I think by virtue of the fact I grew up as a missionary kid. I grew up in Belgian Congo, now Zaire, and Zimbabwe. My parents were Methodist medical missionaries, a dentist and nurse. So I've lived more of my life out in the United States. And when I came to the States to go to college at age 17, I had given my life to Christ at 12. And when I was 18, I went to a missions conference in Urbana, Illinois, and really felt that, you know, God's call on my life was to be in cross-cultural ministry. And so I've always had a very strong call to mission. And when I went to seminary at Asbury, I met a young man who had hair about this long and had a guitar and an African dashiki on. I thought, he's got some potential for a white boy. And I'll let him tell a little more of the other story, because he really did not have a call to mission on his life at that time. But he hadn't met me yet. So no, God worked. It's kind of a neat story.
Well, actually, I had met you, but I still didn't have a call to missions. And Barbara would talk about her call to missions, and I would say, oh, that's great, but you're going to love California. That's where I was headed. And one day in a conference, I heard a speaker say that the church in North America controls 94% of all the resources in the Christian world. We have the money, the leaders, the trained people, the seminaries and so forth. So we have a lot of resources in this country, but we dedicate 96% of our resources to reach our own continent, North America, which is only 7% of the world's population. And I said, that's awful. Somebody should do something about that. And you know, God spoke to me. You've heard the still small voice, and I heard it then. He said, Dave, you're somebody. What are you going to do about it? And I knew I couldn't step away from a call to missions. Barbara had... Oh, yeah.
I'll step in.
Okay, okay.
Step in, because the night he was at that missions meeting at seminary, I was in my dorm room actually praying because I decided I need to break up with Dave because his call was to pastoral ministry, which is a great call to be a pastor in the United States. But I felt I would be beyond and go to other countries or whatever. So in my prayer, I just said, Lord, I'm giving you this relationship. You know, I really love Dave, and I would love to continue this relationship, but I want to be, you know, faithful to the call. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to tell Dave that it's over. It's our relationship is over. So the next morning.
Well, I walked up to Barbara and said, hey, you're not going to believe what happened. And I told her, and her jaw kind of dropped like that.
Yeah. And I said, I have something I have to tell you. And he said, well, I have something I want to tell you. And, of course, guess who went first? But I get to go, the last word. No. So when he explained that to me, he said, I'm really open to being a missionary. I just went, that's great. That's great. Thank you, Jesus. So when we finished seminary, we were with the Church of God. And at that point, he said he wouldn't become a Methodist, so. But anyway.
And she didn't have to become Church of God, you know.
Yeah, he said I was always Church of God, so. But 6 months after we were married, we went to Costa Rica to study Spanish, and our original assignment was actually to go to Uruguay to work with university students. Uruguay, South America, is one of the most pagan countries in the world. They don't even call Christmas Christmas. It's called Family Day. So we were prepared for that. But then 6 months into language study, they said Bolivia was actually requesting a family. And I would like to say, as related to call to missions, it's very important that both husband and wife have a call to mission. In my work as a counselor, I've been with families where, in many cases, the wife kind of goes along. And this does not always bring about the healthiest of circumstances. In a different culture, in a different way of living. So I would encourage, if you feel that God's calling you to mission, he's going to confirm that call in your life and make it very clear to you. And I believe there can be a lot of cross-cultural ministry in this country. Look around. We're a very diverse culture. So whether or not he calls you to physically a different country, you can be involved in mission where you are. And I think this church is a good example of that.
Well, in conclusion, we only have one more thing to say. We've been pretty transparent with you today. You probably know more about Dave and Barbara Miller than you really care to, but we wanted to share with you something from our life because we really feel the partnership with First Church of God in Houston. And as Barbara mentioned, when we were to come the last time, we got the word that Pastor Miller had suddenly passed away. Man, that was a tough thing, and we prayed for your church. We know it was a hard thing that you went through, and we're so glad that we can be partners with First Church of God of Houston, and we look forward to maintaining that partnership going forward. So we just want to say in closing, thank you. Thank you for partnering with us in what God's doing in Latin America, and God bless you.
And we want to say, don't stop now.
Yeah, right.
What a blessing to see and to hear their testimony. And something that struck me was the weak always got to keep on praying. Do you believe that? When they're talking about temptation and then you got to finish, well,